I wonder if you've ever seen this come up on your screen or device. Disconnected. Please check your internet connection and try again. Error code 277. Have you noticed the error code before? And thought, oh, I wonder what 278 is. No. Maybe you've seen this come up on your device, on your computer. Maybe, though, you've also felt this. And the error code isn't a number, but actually it's a relational status that you're disconnected somehow. Maybe with someone that you live at home with, or someone that you know, that you're friends with, someone at work. And you've got this choice to leave and stay disconnected, or to try and reconnect. We're going to be thinking this morning about what do we do as a church in a disconnected world? Because as we go through a series, Living for the Return of Jesus in a Culture That Isn't, and as we come to this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and chapter 3, it highlights that we're living in a disconnected world, and a world where we can become disconnected from one another, and God's words, by God's Spirit, has a message for us today to grow in connection. And being a connected church in a disconnected world, and not just a connected church in a disconnected world, but a connected church for a world that is so full of disconnection. In January this year, through to February this year, this survey was done, and it's about loneliness. I wonder if you were asked this question, how often you feel lonely, what response you would give. The thing that shocked me in this was over half of people in my demographic, my age bracket, feel lonely, either often or occasionally. Disconnected in my age bracket. In 16 to 29-year-olds, 63% said that they felt lonely, disconnected relationally from people, often, always, some of the time or occasionally. In a disconnected world, we need a connected church, not just for ourselves, but for the sake of our world. Initially, this message was going to be called Pastoral Care in a Carefree Society. And judging by your faces, you would have been thinking, oh, well, that's going to put us to sleep. The title I've gone with is Care and Connection in a Disconnected World, but maybe judging by your faces when I put that up, that's going to put you to sleep as well. This is really important, and it's more important than just a catchy title. If we don't grow in connection with one another as a result of our connection with God, our Heavenly Father, we cannot effectively continue to champion one another on to be ready for the return of Jesus in a culture that isn't getting ready. And also, we cannot grow more and more and more to be a community that is offering a place of connection and belonging for people who are seeking that. One of the phrases that Helena used in her testimony was, I was longing for belonging. The reality, I've shared with some data from the Office of National Statistics. The reality is less than 48% of our church family regularly engage in a smaller group, a life group, gathering together to love, care, disciple, and encourage one another. So less than half of our church have opted in to be in a place of closer connection with one another. This fact is not to condemn I'm not here telling you off if you're not in a life group. There's a difference between leaders who condemn and chastise and leaders who champion you to something that they actually think is good for you. And I believe that God's word this morning and in other places when we look at passages, it shows us that growing in close community is so crucial for us as disciples. So in last week's passage, there was this verse that we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives as well. On a Sunday, you might hear from scripture and about the gospel, but you can't really share your life on a Sunday for an hour and a half because a lot of the time we're singing or praying or listening to someone speak. We need to have opportunities in smaller gatherings to be community together. So let's look at God's words and see what it says. We're reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you want a Bible, do pop up your hand and one of the Connect team will bring one to you. But brothers and sisters, notice the family language that Paul uses here. Brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens, and we sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for we know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all of our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase over and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all of his holy ones. Paul and Silas and Timothy, the three that are writing this letter to the young church in Thessalonica, they are disconnected from the church and they have concern about them. They're disconnected. It says, oh, they've tried, but Satan blocks their way. It might be that Satan and his evil demonic forces do cause disconnect for you. Sometimes he infiltrates relationships and meddles with things and confuses people's communication. Sometimes he just puts pressure on and oppresses followers of Jesus so that they feel disconnected from the Heavenly Father and disconnected with one another. Satan will try his utmost to get us to turn our backs on one another and turn our backs on Jesus. That's what he does. But disconnection isn't always the work of Satan. Maybe disconnection for you is caused by lack of time and busy schedules. And therefore, you feel disconnected because you're just so busy. Maybe it's the lack of communication. For example, there are some people that I went to university with that I feel disconnected from. Some of you are thinking, ah. You can ask the question, why do you feel disconnected, Stephen? Thank you. And my answer would be, because I haven't picked up my phone and called them or rung them. There's been a lack of communication, and I left university in 2001. So that's a long time of disconnection because of lack of communication. Maybe there's disconnect because of unresolved conflict, unaddressed issues that can build walls, hindering intimacy and understanding. Maybe in your home, you have someone who always does something that irritates you and never does something that helps you. And over time, that always and never builds up. And after a while, you're disconnected from them relationally. Maybe breaking that disconnect and helping reconnection is stopping using the word always and never, because probably it isn't always and never, but actually saying, do you mind if we talk about the fact that I feel really irritated because it feels like I'm the only one putting the bins out? Or, no, it isn't. Okay, don't read into that Nikki doesn't put the bins out. We do both do it. But is it okay that we talk about how I feel when you leave your clothes, and I'm talking about one of our children now, you leave your clothes all over your bedroom floor rather than putting them away or in the dirty clothes basket? Because if I don't talk to them about it, well, it's actually Nikki that talks to this one about it that I'm thinking of, there will be a disconnect in the relationship. If we don't deal with things, there's a disconnect. Maybe there's a neglect of needs, ignoring emotional or physical needs that helps build this disconnected feeling. A change of priorities or technical distractions. Maybe there's more than one person in a conversation. So you're having one-to-one, but there's also a phone that's connected to millions of others online. Maybe the routine has become so monotonous that there's a disconnect that has crept in. Maybe it's just feeling so stressed and pressurized. It's really important to try and work out what it is that's causing this feeling of disconnect for you and to work on some things to help reconnect. The passage we read is not just a narrative of Paul being concerned for the young church in Thessalonica, but I believe it contains some lessons for us today. Lessons to help us be a connected church in a disconnected world, and also for a disconnected world. And the first one is to encourage us to long for connection and to not give up when it's not immediately there. There's disconnect all around us. And it happens. Sometimes our own fault, sometimes someone else's. Sometimes, as Paul says, Satan gets involved. But we shouldn't give up on seeking connection. Paul uses family-like language. It shows his great love for this young church. In chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. In verse 11 and 12, it says, For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging and comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Paul is using language of love as a mother or love as a father for these people. Those verses are up there. And then in our passage for today, he addresses them as brothers and sisters. And even uses the expression, when we were separated, when we were disconnected, it felt as if we were orphaned, that we had lost our children. I think God wants us to grow in love for one another, because that will be the start of growing in connection as a community of Jesus followers in a disconnected culture. Do we care about someone that we're separated from enough to seek out reconnection? And it might be that there are so many barriers, so many things that have blocked your desire to reconnect. Paul says this in verse 18, Satan has blocked our way. Later on in our service, we'll be taking communion, we'll be sharing communion with one another. And in that act of remembrance of Jesus dying on the cross, we remember that Jesus died not just for our sin, but he came to destroy and to utterly defeat the works of the evil one. So if we're saying that the barrier that's stopping me from reconnecting with this person, even if it's Satan himself, if we're saying that that barrier is too big, we need to have a bigger understanding of Jesus and what he did on the cross, because Jesus removes every barrier for disconnection. And as we do so, Jesus is going to help us grow as a loving community, but also a connected community. Paul uses this feeling of love to drive him to action. It isn't just I love them and do nothing about. He wants to go and see them, but he kept on being stopped. The love that he had led him to action. And I believe that Jesus is calling us to not just love with our words and with our hearts, but to actually act upon it. Lesson number two. We're to stand firm in faith and pressure. And we cannot do that alone. We cannot continue standing firm in faith amid all of the pressure around us by ourselves. And God has called us into community. Paul knows that there are trials, and trials can shake our faith. In verse 3 of chapter 3, he says, for you know quite well that we are destined for trials. And they can unsettle us, but Paul doesn't want them to be unsettled by it. So what he does is he sends Timothy to find out, and not just to find out how they're doing, but to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. Maybe you know someone who has wandered from their faith in Jesus. Maybe you know someone who, when the pressure came, when trials came, they found it difficult to stand firm in faith amid pressure. In a recent survey, 92% of people who had left church and lost their faith in Jesus, 92% of them shared, no one went after me. No one went after me. Faith loss is, for the vast majority of people, a very gradual process. For some people, that disconnection with God, that loss of faith in God and relationship with Him, some people it's a momentary thing, but for lots it's a gradual thing. And the gradual process is because of trials and challenges and things that come in and gets people questioning, and often in isolation, the patterns and the questions, they grow, and gradually people wander from faith. And Paul knew that trials would come to face these early Christians. He wants Timothy, he wants to be there himself, but he can't be there, so he sends Timothy to strengthen them, to go and find out about them. He sends Timothy over 500 kilometers from Athens to Thessalonica. That's about 311 miles on foot, no planes. And he goes after them and just to find out, how are you doing in your faith? Are you standing firm? If you feel that you are in this gradual process of stepping away, I'm sorry if you feel that way. Can I invite you to be bold and brave and let someone know if they don't already know? And say, I'm struggling amid the pressure and the trials that have gone on or things that I'm facing, and I need someone to help me stand firm. Because if you don't say, we might not know. And then when you get to here, you're looking back and thinking, no one came after. But you had time after time after time to say, help me. Help me. But also, people here should be so close in community that we notice and we recognize the signs, and we pray for one another. We'll come on to some of these things in a moment. But we actually recognize the fact that there's a drift taking place, that you're not being as joyful anymore, or there's a change in an attitude or behavior, and we're there and we're going, let's talk, let's pray for you, let's talk it through. Not swamping them, not diving on them, not condemning, but gently strengthening and encouraging as Timothy would have done for these early believers. Listening to questions, allowing one another to unpack challenges, unpack feelings, and ultimately helping them put down deeper roots, not in church, not in community, although those two things are really good, but helping them put down stronger roots in Christ. The third lesson that this passage teaches us about growing in connection in a disconnected world and growing as a community that is connected to God and to one another for a disconnected world is to rejoice in the growth and faithfulness of others. Verse 6 to 10. Timothy reports back to Paul and Silas. So he's gone through 111 miles, then goes back and reports. And he has that joy of saying to Paul and Silas, you know those believers, even though everything around them is against them, even though they're going through a really difficult time, they are still following Jesus. Paul talks about his greatest joy, his glory, his success isn't in his own comfort or pleasure, it's in the growth of others to help them to become more and more like Jesus. We're to take joy in the faithfulness and obedience and growth of others. Why do we clap when people get baptized? Not rhetorical question. Why do we clap? We're filled with joy. We're happy. Why? Someone else has come to know him. They've declared their faith in Jesus. That they've declared that they're a new creation. This is a start line. And we should be celebrating mile one of the marathon following Jesus. We should be celebrating mile two. And when they hit the wall at mile 21, we're still going, you go for it. When Robert was baptized last week, when Helena was baptized this morning, when Peter got baptized on Good Friday, I was like, whoa. These are joy-filled pastor moments. One of my joys is not when I'm in the pool, although I love that. It's when someone is baptizing for the first time. And I've kept a list, ever since I became a pastor, I've kept a list of the people that I've baptized. And during the last 4 years, the frequency of me being in the pool is decreasing. And it could be like, oh, I'm not doing my job. No, I'm getting filled with joy because I'm seeing faithful disciples of Jesus baptizing other people who've come to faith. And I get joy in seeing other followers of Jesus being obedient and seeing them grow and realize, oh, I can baptize. I can do what Jesus has instructed me to do. We should take joy in the faithfulness of our brothers and sisters around the world. One of the ones that I have joy, but it challenges me completely, is when I see people in our church family who've been knocked down by life and situations, but they've got back up again, and with whatever strength they can muster, they raise their hands and declare, yet I will praise the Lord, which is from Psalm 46. That is a joy moment for me, because despite the challenges, they've kept on keeping on with Jesus. We should be a church that rejoices in the growth and faithfulness of others, championing one another on in prayer, rejoicing in each and every step of obedience, and challenging every step of disobedience, not with judgment, but challenging it with grace, pointing people to Jesus. And the fourth and final lesson for this morning from this passage is if we're to grow in connection in a disconnected world, we're to live in holiness and love whilst we're waiting for Jesus' return. And Paul finishes this section of the letter with a heartfelt prayer, reminding us that all care, all connection with one another needs to be rooted in dependence on God in prayer. Night and day we pray most earnestly for you, verse 10. Sometimes we can be guilty of giving one another ourselves and not Christ in us. Have you ever said to someone in our church, oh, you're so kind, and you want to encourage them because they're kind? If they have just given you themselves, then they've only done part of the job. They should give you Christ's kindness through their body or words or actions. And we can only give people Christ rather than ourselves if we ourselves are depending on Christ in prayer and saying, God, when I go and see this person, when I catch up with this person, when I go to life group, or when I start going to life group, help me to be real, but also help me to give people Jesus rather than give people Stephen. And that our connectedness that we grow comes from a connection with God our Father through Christ by the Holy Spirit. And in these verses at the end of our section today, verse 12 and 13, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. If we want to grow in connection, we need to be praying that God makes our love grow for one another. Verse 13, may he strengthen our hearts so that we'll be blameless and holy. if we're to live in holiness, if we're to live in connection, we're going to need to grow in how we interact with one another and how we love one another so that we will be blameless. And God needs to strengthen us in that. And we need to be praying about it. There are times where I and other leaders in our church family and us as a community have not loved you in the way that we should have done. There may be people that we have not gone after. There may be people that we haven't rejoiced in your faithful obedience sufficiently. There may be people that we have not strengthened and encouraged sufficiently. And for all of those times, I want to say on behalf of our church family to you, I'm sorry. For the times that you, if you're a regular part of this church family, haven't lived up to the same standards, on your behalf, I'm sorry. God is calling us to be a connected church in a disconnected world, not just in a disconnected world, but for a disconnected world. And we're to long for connection in a loving way. We're to stand firm in faith amid pressure. We're to rejoice in the growth of others and live in holiness and love whilst waiting. And this is a really tall order. It's a hard task. It's a high standard. How are we going to do it? By first of all recognizing that this is what God wants for us and for you. And he makes it possible. God, our Heavenly Father, longs for a connection with you and with me in a disconnected world. He longed for that connection so much that whilst we were disconnected from him in our sin, he came as Jesus and said, I long to be connected with you again. God, our Father, wants us to stand firm in faith and pressure, but he isn't just going to go, hey, come on, stand firm. He's going to come alongside us and live within us by his Holy Spirit and say, I am sufficient for you. I will strengthen you. I will hold you and keep you until the day of Jesus' return. Number three, God, our Father, when he sees a step in faithful obedience towards him or in his path, in his way, that pleasure of a father seeing, even if it's the first steps back, he just takes delight in that. And he lives wanting us to live in holiness and love whilst we wait for Jesus' return. And we can only live in holiness and only live in love by God giving us that ability through his grace and his Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment, but I also want to be practical and give people an opportunity to get into a place of connection. A church whose heart is fixed on Christ's return seeks to build connected community, not comfortable consumers. If you want to be obedient to God's words and be connected with people in community, and grow in awareness of God's Holy Spirit, encouraging you and strengthening you, and people praying with you and for you, this QR code will just ask you to take some to give some details of your name and when you'd like to join a community. And what we will do is we'll be in touch with you this week, and we'll put you into a group of people who want that as well. We call them life groups in our church, but it's basically a group of people who are choosing to be in community with one another, to encourage one another to follow Jesus in a healthy way until Jesus comes, to be connected in a disconnected world and for a disconnected world. So do use that QR code. But can I just pray? And then I'll ask Liz Stiles to come and lead us in a time of communion. Father, I thank you that you long for connection with us. Your love for us led you to action. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. You lived and ministered and died and rose again so that our broken connection with Heavenly Father could be restored. And even though we still live in a disconnected world, I thank you, Father, that you have made it possible that we can be connected with you. Holy Spirit, help each of us respond in the areas that we need to respond in. Whether that is identifying and dealing with the reasons, the things that have caused disconnection with you or with others. Or whether it is just simply saying, Jesus, I'm far from you. I'm disconnected from you and I'm turning back to you. Jesus, I thank you that your victory on the cross and through the grave proved beyond doubt that you are victorious over sin, death, and even Satan himself. And where Satan is at work, causing disconnection in this community, not just in this church, but in this community, in relationships, in households, in systems and structures, we say, Satan, you have no authority here, and Jesus is victorious over you, so be gone. Stop your disconnected work. And Jesus, bring your connection and restoration there. For your glory, Lord. Amen.